Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise Podcast number 254 on the last day of 2019, December 31st. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon. Become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid those recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. $5 a month times 12 months equals $60, and you'll get the same benefits as a monthly $5 patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just underneath the Patron button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, that little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, you can use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance determining which pegging equipment is the very best choice for you and your partner, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Okay, everybody, first thing we're going to do is talk about the patron update and the one-time donation thing, because I am not prepared to do that for this podcast. I do apologize. Things have been a little bit wild, and I'll tell you about that in a moment, but I am going to catch up on that next week. And the good news is that I'm actually going to be hiring someone to interact with you awesome patrons in the very beginning, get you all signed up and receiving the emails quickly, answering your questions about how to access stuff, because it's rather circuitous and complicated. There's a lot of parts to it. So it's taking up too much of my time that I could better be spent doing cool things like making more podcasts, writing more stories, stuff like that. So that's the good news along those lines. But for those of you who have made donations or become new patrons, I do apologize that you're not getting your shout out this time, but you will get it next time, absolutely. So let's see, I do want to announce that we've got some webinars happening on January 12th. I'm going to do a day where I do all three webinars in one day. The webinar for beginners is going to be that January 12th, which is a Sunday at 10 a.m. The equipment webinar will be 1 p.m. and the advanced webinar will be at 4 p.m. And then I definitely need to remind you guys about the upcoming podcast that I would love your contributions for. The soonest one, and it's coming sooner than you think, is the cross-dressing podcast. The deadline for contributions for that is January 3rd, and I might extend it one more day if I have to. And then the podcast is going to come out on the 7th. And here's the deal, you know, are you a cross-dresser? I'd love to hear your story. Whatever place cross-dressing occupies in your life, however you feel about it, whether you're out, whether you're still in the closet, please consider contributing. There are so many cross-dressers who would love to hear from you. And then, are you the partner of a cross-dresser? Because I'd love to hear your story too. How does it fit into your lives? How do you feel about it? How'd you find out about it? Whatever you'd like to share, your contribution is welcome and appreciated. Further in the future is the bisexual podcast. I'm also seeking contributions for that. The deadline for that is January 17th, and the podcast will be aired on the 20th of January. Get your fingers on that keyboard and send me some cool cross-dressing stories, you guys. I've gotten a lot of feedback from cross-dressers over time when they run across those podcasts about how much they enjoy listening to an entire podcast of cross-dressing stories. And yeah, it's the whole tribe thing, you know? It's the whole you don't feel so alone, you don't feel like there's anything wrong with you, you let go of the shame, and you enjoy listening to stories of people who were just like you, because you are all perfect exactly the way you are. So let's move on to some of my personal news here. I've missed a week of podcasts, and the reason that happened is because I was relaxing at home with my daughter and her boyfriend, who I live with, and I got a phone call from my sister, and her husband had passed away. Very unexpectedly, he was up that morning going to the store and doing things, and he had a heart attack, and he was gone just that quickly. So needless to say, I grabbed everything up and went down there, and I spent an entire week with her. They'd been married for 30 years, and you know, when someone leaves suddenly, and I use that wording intentionally because I believe that they leave as opposed to they're taken from me, but when they leave suddenly, I think it's sort of an automatic thing for most people to refocus on what's important. So what's important to me is telling everyone that I love how I feel about them, saying those words aloud and making sure that they know, because things can change so quickly it will take your breath away. So I encourage you all to do that. Tell your people you love them. Say the words. Make sure they know how you feel. My sister's doing fairly well. I'll be going down there a little bit more in the future. She's only about an hour away from me. Of course, there's a lot of stuff to sort through, paperwork to do, the service, all of that stuff. But we're all doing okay, and I'm doing okay too. I mean, my primary concern was for my sister because losing a partner is huge. But I have to say, my brother-in-law, and you know, the three words that come to mind as far as my brother-in-law, the first one is enthusiasm. Whatever he was doing, he was really into doing it. He was so enthusiastic about so many things. He was never blah about anything. Whatever he was doing, there was such a high degree of enthusiasm. The next word that comes to mind is generosity. Yeah, generosity. He bought me a car, for goodness sake. And it's not the first car that they bought for me in my lifetime. He was a very generous person, absolutely. And last but not least, the word that comes to mind is he's incredibly social. And it's wonderful to have a partner who's a male who kind of, as my sister said, comes complete with his set of friends. Because, you know, we've talked a lot on this podcast about the man box and how actually men are raised to, if they follow all those rules of masculinity, to isolate and not to have friends. But he absolutely came with a set of friends when he met my sister and maintained those friends all these years and had other friends that he made. So yeah, he was very social. So anyway, yeah, sad times for our family, but we will make it through this. I am doing fine. I've received a number of emails and messages offering condolences, and it's very sweet of you guys. I haven't had a chance to respond to them all, but I want you to know that I appreciate each and every one of them. Okay, so what else has been happening? Well, interestingly enough, when I was down at my sister's house, since I didn't have the responsibilities of being at home and all that entails on a daily basis, I was able to do a little bit of writing, and so I wrote this article called The Case for Cock Owners Using Strap-Ons. And as I do sometimes, I know that some of you just listen to this podcast, and you don't ever really take a look at my blog or read anything, and maybe you're not connected to me on FetLife, and that is the first place that I posted it, was on FetLife. So I'm just going to read it to you, because it's really not that long. I wish that more cock owners were open to the idea of using a strap-on with their partner. Often, they immediately jump to the assumption that the strap-on will render their cock obsolete. In their imagination, the strap-on is always bigger, longer, and better. Consider instead these reasons for a cock owner to use a strap-on. You had an orgasm but want to keep pleasuring your partner. You want to be able to fuck your partner and completely concentrate on them, not the multitasking of staying hard but not coming too soon. Your partner wants a curved toy that will hit their G-spot or P-spot just right. Your partner wants something smaller because you have a large cock that is difficult for them to enjoy for very long. Your partner wants something shorter because your cock is long and hits their cervix or rectosigmoid junction with hard or deep fucking. Your partner wants something with texture or ridges because texture or ridges gets them off. You want to be able to fuck your partner for a long time, perhaps through a couple of orgasms, and then do penis and vagina or penis and ass hard and fast for your orgasm. If medication or age is causing erectile difficulties, you can still satisfy your partner's desire to be fucked. If your partner has a vagina, you can use a strap-on to enjoy dual penetration. If you have erectile dysfunction and would like to offer dual penetration, toys can be used in both holes. For dungeons that do not allow genital-to-genital or mouth-to-genital play, if you enjoy sex in public at these types of dungeons, a strap-on is a perfect solution. Being told to fuck your dominant partner with a strap-on can add an aspect of humiliation / chastity to your play. It may also be good for folks with less able bodies to experience penetration, giving or receiving, in a position that is most comfortable for them. Provides an alternative if either partner has an STI flare-up or if either partner wants to be extra careful around safe sex. Can be used for double penetration, meaning two cocks, of either ass or vagina. And last but far from least, for future cock owners, it can help to foreshadow what's yet to come for pre-op female-to-male trans people. That's a lot of reasons. Oh my gosh. Okay, to continue reading. A strap-on can open up a whole new world of more changeable, nuanced fucking for cock owners, and the equipment gets thrown off the side of the bed or into the bathroom sink when you are done. The wearer is still the warm, cozy body that snuggles with their partner and holds them in that delicious post-fucking bliss. Strap-ons will never replace a real person. They are simply a sex toy that can be used for fun and pleasure. If you decide to try this, know that a strap-on made specifically for cock owners is important to have. Your dangly bits will need to be contained and have a home while you are fucking. Alternatively, if your dangly bits are hard and ready to go, you need an additional hole for dual penetration. Regular strap-ons do not provide either the extra room or the extra hole. The Spare Parts Deuce is the absolute best strap-on on the market for cock owners. And I put a link to that. So, okay, I posted that up on FetLife. Now, to give you a little bit of history, I've been on FetLife for a long time, I think about 8 years or so, and anything I've ever posted has gotten maybe 500 or 600 loves at the very, very, very most, and that's over time. That's like a sexy picture of me wearing a strap-on and people, you know, coming across it as they peruse my profile over years and years, right? So that's about the most loves I have ever gotten on anything I've posted that I can recall. So what happens with this post? It exploded on FetLife. Oh my gosh, it took on a life of its own. At this point in time, it has 1,300 loves, and they are overwhelmingly positive. Now, okay, FetLife is a bit of a skewed sample because we're all kinky people, and I can make a fairly accurate generalization that we're more open-minded sexually than the general public. But I was so pleased. I mean, I have suggested men wearing strap-ons before, like on Reddit, and just got flamed about how insulting that is and blah, blah, blah. And this was the complete opposite experience. Again, I think partly it's about it being FetLife, but at the same time, I would like to think that perhaps it is an idea whose time has finally come. It also garnered 530 comments. Yes, indeed. So what I'm going to do is just read you a select few of those because it was really interesting what people's comments were, what other people's reactions to the comments were. I mean, all of it was super fascinating because as with many kinks, there's overlaps in so many different areas. So let me just read you some of the comments here. crumbs for people with penises. This is very fun, and there are many good reasons to try it. Give your penis a vacation. And when people say crumbs, I should tell you what they mean by that on FetLife is all of the people they're connected to, they're leaving breadcrumbs, so to speak, so that their friends will go and look at a really interesting post. So they're basically, that's a way of recommending that all the people you're connected to read it. Okay, the next comment. Never had a problem of using a vibrator or other toy on someone anytime my cock's not ready or is recovering. If a plastic weenie does it for them, who am I to be reticent about it? Maybe I'll have the lady get her strap-on out this weekend and try it on for size. Thanks for the inspiration. Hell yes, a guy with two dicks is hot and so useful. I very much enjoyed this. I wish more men would be open-minded. Absolutely love this. As a pre-op trans woman, all I have to do is strap on and the fun begins. My partner and I can have fun, and I don't have to worry about gender dysphoria setting in at the wrong time. Besides, it looks hot and is actually pretty validating. So, okay, this is the first reaction I got from a trans person. And as this trans woman mentioned, she is pre-op, so the way I understood it is that she has a bile cock that she will eventually have surgery to remove. But for now, because of the gender dysphoria and perhaps also the hormone replacement therapy, cocks can be unreliable. Plus, you don't want to use something that you're not feeling comfortable with. And that's what gender dysphoria is all about. That's a part of you that you kind of don't like or have a dis-ease with. So that would be why this trans woman is getting the surgery. So one of the next things that happened is I got a private message from a trans woman, and she mentioned right off the bat that I didn't seem to have any points for trans people in my list. So I'm all for wanting to be inclusive. So I asked her, okay, what points do you think I should include? Because the first one that comes to mind is a trans penis owner could use the strap-on as an option when gender dysphoria causes feelings of not wanting to use their penis. Because, I mean, this is exactly the comment that I just got, right? And then I also said, excuse me if I phrased it poorly, but I'd appreciate any other suggestions too, because I really want to be inclusive. And whoa, she kind of flamed me, man. I try so hard to be inclusive, but I don't always get it right. And I do think that there is some individual likes and dislikes going on here, but this is what she wrote me back. Gender dysphoria generally creates anxiety over the penis. Merely having one, a trans woman with dysphoria, in my experience, would have no desire to imitate a physical appendage they want to be rid of. A sheath is an option when hormone replacement therapy has created a situation of thinner skin integrity and loss of erectile rigidity, but no, the way I take your query will get you limited traction. Thanks, I feel oh so included now. And then she blocked me. And it's like sometimes you don't get the sarcasm right until you're blocked. I thought she was serious for a minute. But apparently I blew it somehow with that person. And then I got one more response from a wonderful trans person who said, yes, all my yeses. Also, strap-ons allowed me to re-own intercourse as a trans woman. Okay. Well, that comment made me feel a little bit better about apparently blowing it with the one in the middle. So let me go on to read more comments. This next one is a gender fluid person with a bio cock, so not really trans. They do not identify as trans because they play with gender so much. I routinely use one for a few reasons. Variety being one, sizes, shapes, etc. Prolonging the experience is another. Plus, some guys are okay with being pegged with a strap-on, but not necessarily the real thing, so there's that. What a great post. As a penis-having individual, I am a strong advocate for the use of a strap-on for many of the reasons listed above. One of my favorite reasons for choosing a strap-on phallus is simply the incredible variety of shapes, sizes, and colors that they are available in. Some of the best creative role play can be had with a delectably weird-shaped strap-on. anime tentacles, aliens, the Virgin Mary, the Eiffel Tower. I have always been up for this. I already knew about a lot of the points, but thank you for spreading it further. It feels like some of this comes out of toxic masculinity and may be hard to communicate without one party's feelings being hurt. I responded to that person and said, I agree that masculinity gets in the way of more men considering using a strap-on. That's partly why I wrote this. There is no shame, no negative reflection on manliness or masculinity to use a strap-on. It's a sex toy. Years ago, I read a joke in Playboy about a man whose wife was somewhat insatiable, and he didn't know what to do about it. A friend suggested he buy her some toys. Later, when his friend asked if that had helped, the man said yes, but now he finds himself fifth in line. In my mind, I'm hearing that he's still in line, so he has nothing to worry about. If sex is about giving your partner pleasure, does it matter how they achieve this pleasure by your hands, or how they achieve this pleasure together with you? I get that egos are involved, but if you just let sex be more about mutual fun and pleasure, and less about ego, everyone wins. And then I had a back and forth conversation with a man, and it started out this way. Do you see any conflict between let's normalize cis men using strap-ons and it's great because it's a tool for humiliation play? I'm a little puzzled by that duality. I wrote him back and said, I do not. They are not mutually exclusive. While one couple can revel in humiliation play, another couple can see it as just another way to make love. Many things in kink have this aspect of being different for different people. This is what makes communicating about it all so very important. I can even see a scenario where a dominant penis owner wants to roughly take their partner with a strap-on that certainly flies in the face of what most people envision. He wrote back and said, I suppose it's just tough for me to reconcile saying that part of the reason that men are reluctant to do this is that often they immediately jump to the assumption that the strap-on will render their cock obsolete. In their imagination, the strap-on is always bigger, longer, and better. And that perception should be combated with eroticizing the idea that using a strap-on on your partner is humiliating. The resonance that drives that humiliation comes from the negative connotations and shame associated with not being enough. It feels odd to combat the cause while campaigning for one of its effects. And I wrote him back. I think the key is that some men would be best served by letting go of the automatic emasculation assumption of using a strap-on, but other men would revel in the eroticizing of that emasculation for the humiliation factor. It's very individual, and yes, those positions are quite at odds with each other. And more comments. Look, sometimes your cock just isn't enough. I would think pleasing your partner would trump someone's bruised ego, and it doesn't even need to be about your ego. If your partner likes big dicks and you don't have one, this is a perfect solution to satisfying them. And this was from a woman. Hot damn, the world is my oyster now with this information. Then there were partners, it was funny, who were tagging each other, so their partner would come and look at it and read it, and then they'd chat about it. It was very cute. And another comment. This is fascinating. I was vaguely aware of the deuce before, but never really gave it much thought. As the owner of an average-sized and perfectly lovely cock, it could be so great to offer a range of sizes to a partner. Oh, you're a size queen? Fine, if you insist. Oh, you have a shallow cervix? We got this. Also, sometimes I find very strong extended thrusting with my biocock can leave me overstimulated where I just can't come from PIV penetration anymore, or maybe at all. Having the option to go long and hard only as long as I want with my biocock, but still as much as the penetratee wants, yet then still be able to finish for myself the way I need? Gold. Lots of potential here. Great article. My play partner is as dom as they come and well endowed, but he's used to strap on while making love to me because we both love experimenting. Honestly, it was a lot of fun and we're both open to trying it again. This is such a great post. You had an orgasm but want to keep pleasuring your partner. Yes! I think it's super lame for sex to end just because the man had an orgasm and the woman didn't yet. I like to get oral after, but I never thought about the actual fucking continuing with a strap on. What a great idea. Well said, and yes to all the above. I love having my cis male partner use a strap on me while locked in a chastity cage. It's a strange out-of-body experience for him to go through all of the usual motions of fucking without actually being able to feel it. I wish more people would put aside their penis ego and embrace how much fun this can be. I personally am a cock owner, but I prefer to use a strap-on than my own for many of the reasons listed. I also get super tired and pass out when I climax, so it's better that I don't and wait until after to take care of my own climax. Finally, someone actually gets it and delivers the finer points to the masses. Show me your cock. Which one? I own 13. Yes, I prefer to use my toy box. My partners and I tend to be a bit competitive when it comes to each other's pleasures, so having alternatives is a boon, not a detriment. Thank you for lining out the finer points. Well done. At least 4 of the bullet points resonate with me, and in most cases, my partners are willing and accepting. Another point to consider, and I owe this to a former partner, if you have multiple dongs for the strap-on, you can have a private gangbang. And then right after that one, I put these two together because they're the same topic. Sometimes you just want to have a gangbang without the hassles that go into coordinating one. Grab a couple different sizes and let your partner bang you into exhaustion. Love the idea of continuing fucking after cock owner has an orgasm and having multiple cocks for different sensations. I suspect quite a few cock owners have used dildos or plugs during intercourse for dual penetration play. I further suspect many of them have simply never realized there are specially made strap-ons for this. Regarding a cock in chastity while using a strap-on, well, now you've just added a new kink to the very top of my to-do list. So hot. I'd love to use a larger cock while in a cage. The idea drives me wild. I'm only 52, not suffering any erection problems yet. However, giving my cock a break sounds about right. Some nights, more like every time, she can outfuck me. We strap up and have a blast, both getting it. And this is from a female. I've been an advocate for toy and strap-on use for years. Men own tools to do work around the house, to do plumbing or auto repair. Having tools to work on and with your partner just plain makes sense. Mentioning toys as tools to a man helps shift his perspective. I've encountered many men who resist using toys with their partners. The reason is usually based on some variants of, I don't want my partner wanting a bigger cock, or how can I compete with that? It's not about competition, merely reaching in your toolbox for your multi-tool. It's still you bringing those sensations to your partner. Your partner will appreciate it. Yeah, I think just like with many things, communication is so key. I would totally be feeling inadequate or unwanted. Then again, I have my own issues. Without an in-depth conversation about the desire. But I think this is totally wonderful. DP, swoons. If you are a vag owner and haven't experienced both holes filled at the same time, try it today. You're welcome. Well-written and inspiring piece, and at my age, this would help extend our fun. I'm sure the idea will be well-received, pun intended, by my spouse. This is fantastic. As someone who wears a strap-on but does not have a cock, I never thought of him having one also. The possibilities are endless. Being locked up in a chastity cage and wearing a strap-on to please my partner is one of the most amazingly frustrating experiences I've ever had, and I absolutely loved it. I once played with a man who used a strap-on because he was having a difficult time staying hard. I had never had someone do that, and I thought it was incredibly creative and thoughtful. He considered himself a dominant, too. This was great writing. Thank you for encouraging kinksters to think outside the box. Great idea. While we all know there's plenty of fun things to do when the flesh occasionally won't work, not 18 anymore, obviously, it would be nice to have the option for a partner who flat out wanted penetration, and if the toy is already there, it ups the chances of the tables being turned. Win-win. And last but not least, far from it, here's the final one I'm going to read you. As a man with a small penis, I absolutely love this. So, this was really quite a fascinating experience, I have to say, because there I was trying to really walk the line between not emphasizing that it can be humiliating, because that is one of the things that puts some guys off, is the feeling that they're humiliated, that their own cock can't do the job, so to speak, as opposed to looking at it just like a toy and you can give them a different experience. And of course, it's easy for me to say all those words. I am not a bio cock owner. I don't know what it feels like. I can imagine, and I imagine it could be really, really difficult to sort of get past that conditioning, that your cock should be the be-all, end-all kind of thing, because sexually, that's the box that we're put in as when it comes to like couple sex, you know what I mean? That's the thing that is most often assumed, is penis and vagina, and that's the way she's going to get off, and that's what you do, right? So when you start bringing in things to spice things up or that kind of thing, it can be difficult sometimes. Ego can absolutely get in the way, and a few of those comments touched on that. So I didn't really want to talk about the humiliation at all until somebody else brought it up. And as people brought things up, I added things to the list that I initially made, which made it a little bit easier. And also there's the back and forth between, I don't want to say, hey, if you've got a small cock, you can put a big one on and fuck your friend, you know? But at the same time, that's a reality. I stated it in the opposite direction because I don't want that to be the default, because it usually is, you know, the bigger, better, longer thing. So it was so cool that this lovely guy at the end says, hey, as a man with a small penis, I absolutely love this. And that's the thing, is to keep your partner satisfied, not to worry about using a toy, because at the end of the night, like I said, the toy gets thrown in the sink or off the side of the bed, and you are there with your sweetie. Sex toys cannot replace people. I am still rather mystified why it got so much attention. I put it up on Facebook, and it got a few people paying attention, and that's pretty much it. But on FetLife, it was a very big deal. So as I was putting the podcast together this morning, I ran across a post on Reddit, and the title of it was, Wife Told Me How She Really Feels, and It Hurts. My wife of 1 year and I enjoyed what I thought was good sex today, and both came as usual. After we were cuddling, and I asked her what she'd like to try sexually in 2020. She couldn't think of anything to say, but finally said, longer dick, as a joke, but not a joke. The one thing that I can't change. She didn't mean to hurt me and apologized when she saw my reaction, but it's no secret that my penis is average. To be honest, it always feels loose inside her. 5 inches long and not especially thick. She's short, but does seem to have a wide and long vagina. When we fuck, I don't ever feel that I fill her up or reach the end. It has bothered me before, but today she let me know it bothers her too. We've tried doggy with her legs crossed to make it tighter. However, she comes through penetration by sitting on my lap and grinding. But I wish that I could fill her up, like a big penis would. She was a virgin before we met, so of course it'd be natural if she feels that she's missing out on a bigger experience. I'm trying to be proactive about this and want us to address it head on. We talked, and she's open to doing Kegels, and I'm open to trying penis stretches. What else would you recommend to help me feel more like a worthy lover and her to be extra satisfied? We're not interested in involving other people. So there a number of people on the thread said, no, don't do penis stretches. In fact, a doctor came along and said, no, don't do that. You can cause damage and it won't help. And I eventually got in there and said, hey, with all due respect, dude, with all due respect for the strength and endurance and grace and balance and multitasking that it takes to fuck somebody, because that's what it takes in this athletic event and you guys fucking rock. If you're thinking about getting a dildo, which he had already mentioned in the thread that he was, consider getting a strap-on, because then you can do hands-free and you can do the same fucking motion as you would if you were using your cock. And a bunch of people upvoted the advice. I'm not sure if he'll take it, but I'm finding that there are a number of places to where, if diplomatically put and kindly put as much as possible, the suggestion is received a little bit better than it used to be in the past. You know, I haven't checked there since this morning, so who knows? They might be flaming me, but from there, I'm going to move to another thread. And the reason I'm reading you all those things is because they all tie into the man box one way or another, okay? The title of this one was, "Last week, I bought lingerie for my girlfriend for the first time. When she came into the bedroom and revealed herself, I broke down into tears." So here's this guy's story. "We settled on some Calvins I thought looked really nice and comfortable, and they shipped a couple of days later. Earlier today, she came over and started putting them on in the bathroom, and when she stepped out a few minutes later, my first reaction was my jaw hitting the floor, which turned into a really stupid-looking wide-mouth-open grin, mixed in with me saying, 'Oh my God,' in blabbering repetition. I saw her nervousness turn into a blush, and then into a wide smile, and she started walking over to me, ready to get going. But then, and I don't really know how, a huge wave of emotion came over me, and I just started tearing up. She came closer, and instead of me getting frisky with her, as I normally would, I just sat up and pulled her into a deep hug. She kept asking me what was wrong, and if she did anything, and I said nothing, that nothing was wrong, and I'm so sorry. But eventually, I relented and revealed some things to her. She's my first real girlfriend, and also the girl I had the absolute pleasure of losing my virginity to, even though I wasn't her first. She's someone who accepts me completely for who I am, and our relationship is honest, loving, and amazing in every single way. I told her I started crying because before I met her, I was very ashamed of my body because I'm slightly overweight, and I never thought I could comfortably be naked around someone, just since I felt that no one would ever want to look at me, much less a woman. That, combined with some other issues that girls in the past left me with, led me to believe that no girl would ever really want me, and that I would be left empty for the rest of my life, chasing meaningless relationships. In that moment, though, I realized, as she showed herself to me, that I was staring at a beautiful, angelic-looking girl I loved with all my heart and who genuinely, without any conditions, loved me back for who I was and nothing else. When we were new together, she worked with me to help me become more comfortable in bed and during sex took herself out of her comfort zone to pleasure me more. And most importantly, she alone rid me of my body image issues by telling me how much she loved every single inch of my body and wouldn't want me to look any other way. Seeing this same girl go to the effort of putting on tight lingerie just for me, something she absolutely didn't need to do at all and only did it so I could better appreciate her body, it honestly just hit me like a truck. In that moment, I felt so desired and loved and wholly accepted for who I was, and she looked so genuinely beautiful that I guess my brain really couldn't process all of it, and I went straight to tears. I never thought that this moment would come growing up, but there I was living it right there. I was truly loved by someone for who I was, and I had made her happy enough as my partner that she wanted to stay with me and put in the work to make the relationship as wonderful as it is. She spent several minutes consoling me after I finished blabbering about how beautiful she looked and telling her my sob story. She thanked me sincerely for making her feel so pretty and loved and genuinely appreciated. She told me she loved me so much and that I had been such a good boyfriend and partner to her that it was her genuine pleasure to dress up for me and pleasure me as best she could. When I regained my composure, I promptly proceeded to fuck her brains out, and then we both cuddled together afterward in loving bliss. Oh, this was the most adorable and most heartwarming story, and I just wanted to share it with you guys, and here's why. Not only because it's a lovely story, and I think everyone can enjoy it and appreciate it, but in the comments, a couple of guys got in there and said, dude, you have totally fucked up. You cried in front of your girlfriend. Chicks don't dig tears. Count your days. The relationship is ending. I mean, really on and on. This was before the mods got in there and deleted a bunch of these comments. And I came in at about that time and I watched other women going in and saying, no, I actually really appreciate men who can let their emotions out. Not all women feel that way. And they just kept being really negative about it. And I thought, okay, we're talking about all of this man box stuff and guys and express your emotions and all that. But here's why I read it, because I really wanted to emphasize to the women, that as much as the men have to adjust their way of looking at things and hopefully tap more into their emotions, express them more, talk about them more, make more friends, develop deeper connections with people, and all of those skills and things, interpersonal communication, all that stuff that men are trained sort of not to have when they grow up, as much as they're reaching for all of that, we equally have to reach towards accepting the new guys, right? We can't be doing the, oh my God, you're such a sissy if you cry sort of thing. And I know I've talked about this before, but I just really wanted to emphasize it. It will take so much longer for men to turn that corner and embrace the parts of themselves that they, to their detriment, have denied if women cannot step up to the plate and actively invite and accept and appreciate and love those parts as well. And I think it's going to be a little difficult for some women. That's why I'm saying this. Some women are very invested in that stereotype. So the story was so wonderful because he allowed all that to come out. It sounded like he almost didn't have a choice, that it was just going to come out no matter what. But she responded so awesomely. I mean, she just let him have his emotions, and that was fine. And he told her all about it, and it was just such a beautiful story. Men need to step out of the man box, but I really believe that women would do well to be standing there holding out a hand to help them out. And again, I encounter this on a Facebook post that is a screenshot of two Twitter posts. The first Twitter post says, you know how terrible men have to be that women are just out there with horrifically high sex drives and not having sex? Y'all are that bad, laughing my ass off. And someone replied to that and said, men are constantly cock-blocking themselves. They crave female energy so bad, but do immature, silly things to repel it instead of mature, sexy things to attract it. Oh, boy. So as you scroll down this post, all the women are piling on and saying they're terrible and they sabotage things and blah, blah, blah. So here's what I wrote. Well, you're not wrong, but there are a lot of reasons why men are the way they are, and it's not just because they're too lazy to be better. Generalizing in the gender binary, men are raised to never show emotions, not ask for help, tough it out, not value interpersonal communications, not value deep friendships, and not show empathy or compassion. And this is just a partial list of the required or forbidden behaviors for a man to qualify as masculine. They will indeed often appear silly or immature or lost to women who have been raised with serious skills in those areas. So I don't find them terrible or sabotaging. I find them unskilled and confused because women are mad at them for not having the skills they were specifically told not to have to be manly men. I find this all too sad to make fun of them, but I also find it frustrating when all the emotional labor and communication facilitation falls to me. I often try to have compassion, but at the same time, I refuse to do everything. So, yes. You know, this is up so much, and this is why I read all of this stuff. It started off with the FetLife post, and then I kept finding things wherever I went that sort of tapped into this concept of how come men can't just do this, right? And oh my God, I don't know what I would be thinking or feeling if I was a guy at this time with all of this stuff going on and all these expectations on me and all of these knee-jerk reactions to having been raised a certain way, and it was fine for the longest time, and all of a sudden now it's not fine anymore. So I just want to tell you guys, you rock. Keep trying. You'll get there. And there are absolutely women out there that will welcome you with open arms, accept you exactly the way you are, whether you are happy, sad, in tears, you need help, you're not feeling manly, you are feeling manly, all the ways you are perfectly okay. And maybe this podcast turned into kind of a shot in the arm for the guys, more talking. It's almost like it's the guys' podcast again, but in a very, very different way. Maybe this all happened in honor of my brother-in-law, who is no longer with us. Next week, we will be back on track with all of your questions. Please do not forget to send in those contributions for the cross-dressing podcast. I'm really, really looking forward to that. It turns out I've done this every 2 years. I did it in 2016, 2018, now January of 2020. So I think about every 2 years sounds right. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through your favorite podcast downloader app, and you can stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, MeWe, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some of those sexy new toys, like the Jacques Deuce harness from Entice Me, please use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too parochial, too punitive, or too pussified. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call my question line at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging. And #NoShame.